I gotta keep deleting my intros because you keep saying names and things you shouldn't be saying.
I'm sorry.
He's not saying bad words, but
it's okay.
This is my guest host, Nivek. He's gonna take over for me.
There's mercy.
Because I'm gonna go clean up because I was sweating earlier.
You're gonna have me take over?
Yeah, you're gonna take over.
Oh, dang.
This is the podcast where I do whatever I want.
Okay, that's fine.
And it's not professional. It actually...
Yeah, you're right, dude.
I guess. I don't know, dude. I just...
Like...
This is like Burger King, dude. I have it my way. So... yeah, Nivek's taking over. Thank you guys for joining Capitan's podcast. And don't forget, you can listen into any of your own favorite apps like Spotify, Apple, Google... Anywhere you like to listen to podcasts, yeah, go check it out. I think I'm supposed to be doing YouTube videos too, but I haven't been doing anything lately. Nor have I been live streaming on on Twitch Fridays and Saturdays.
It's all right, dude.
But schedule's kind of changing a little bit, but it's all right. So, anyways, without further ado, I leave you guys with Nivek. Dun dun.
Yo, what's up? What's up, podcast people? So yeah, like Jose said, he does what he wants, and so I'm just here with the phone and talking into a microphone and have absolutely no idea where this is going at all. I don't have any preconceived thing to talk about, so I hope you guys are having an awesome day. Whenever time you're listening to this, I hope everything's just been great, and if it's been stressful... Let me just pray for you guys. Father, I thank you for your love. God, I thank you so much for everyone hearing this podcast. Father, I pray right now your supernatural peace would come upon them at the sound of my voice. And Father, I thank you so much for every soul. Every life is so precious to you that you demonstrated your great love for humanity, that while we're still in our sins, while we're still in our wickedness, in our uncleanness, in our guilt, in our shame, Father, you sent Christ Jesus to die for us. That's how much you truly love us, that you made a way for us to be free from the bondage and the sting and the harm of sin, because you really, 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 really love us, that you so love the world that you gave your only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. That Jesus didn't come to condemn the world, but that all might have life for anyone who believes in him. Because the truth is, guys, nobody had to tell us about our condemnation. We know we're guilty. And even if we are stiff-necked and proud and don't want to admit it, that pride, it testifies to the fact that we are guilty. There would be no reason to have pride unless it was to defend the thing that we know is true. Pride is just like the devil's version of righteousness. It's like, well, I'm going to defend myself in pride to remove my conscience from the issue that I see that is very real in my life. And pride, it's a self-preservation. It's really selfish. And it's twisted. It's from the devil, because the devil is full of pride, because he has no part in God. He's absolutely no part in God, so he's just full of himself. It's a very sad place to be, which is why he's condemned. He is judged, and because of what he did, because of his judgment, and the fact that he deceived Eve to commit sin and to disobey God, and sin came into the world through Adam and Eve, and it came into the world through one man. It was poured out through all mankind. That pride through sin is imputed to all mankind. And that pride is very selfish. It's very self-preserved. And the Holy Spirit convicts us of judgment. And the Bible says that He convicts us of judgment because the devil has already been judged. And so when we think about the conviction of God's judgment against our sin, the fact that, oh my goodness, if I get caught, you know, I'm going to get judged. The fact that we experience guilt testifies to God's judgment. It testifies to the fact that there is a judgment. If there was no such thing as Judgment Day, then humanity and the human race would never, ever experience this thing we know as guilt. And guilt is not something learned over time. It's a heart issue. It's a heart thing that is literally experienced, even as a child. It's experienced. It's not taught. It's experienced. For example, you know, it's like it's experienced because the moment a command is presented, for example, hey son, you know, little 4-year-old son, you have at least a little bit of cognitive ability to understand a command or an instruction. Don't touch that. If you do, it could fall over and break. And let's say all of a sudden you're playing around and you start touching it or something and it falls over and it breaks. What happens at that moment? You immediately perceive that because it's broken, there is an expected consequence. All of a sudden, you do exactly what Adam did in the garden, and you try to hide it. Maybe you try to put it somewhere. Oh no, I don't want them to see what happened, because oh my goodness. And if they were a godly parent, then they would show mercy. And they would show love and forgiveness. But if they were like most cases and most time in the world, sinful, unbelieving parents, just because they don't know who they are, I mean, God, it's there's no condemnation. It's like God, Jesus didn't come to condemn us. It's just because they don't know who they are. So we're not blaming other people's sins for our condition. But let's say that, you know, most cases, let's say the people that just don't know who they are. They don't know God. So they live in their sinful nature. They'll whoop that boy. They'll whoop that child. They'll be like, I told you not to do that. Why'd you do that? I'm going to whip you. And then most of the time, unfortunately, because of the sinful nature that has been imputed to us through generation to generation to generation, we experience things like this, like abuse, abusive parents, abusive father figures, abusive mothers, whatever it is, abusive guardians. You know, when we break a command, we get chastised, and maybe sometimes a little too harshly. And it just, like I said, it all testifies to the truth of what the Word of God says. The Bible says the Word of God is a living and active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing soul and spirit, bone and marrow, even to the intentions of the heart. You know, when you think of things like what Jesus said, if you look at a woman to lust after her, it's the same as committing adultery. And we'll be judged as an adulterer just for looking at a woman to lust for her. We didn't have to commit the act, but the fact that it was in our heart, it's no different than the act itself, because it was in the heart. Because God's like a perfect exterminator. He's not going to see a cockroach crawling on the wall and just kill that and say the problem is dealt with. He's going to get to the core, the root issue of the actual problem. And he says it's the heart. The heart needs to be changed, because out of the heart, the mouth speaks, and out of the heart, the issues of life come forth. Its defilement comes from within, Jesus said. So it's based on the things that we say, proves what's in our heart. And the Bible says the heart is desperately wicked. It's deceitfully wicked, actually. We can deceive ourselves and think that the things that we say in our mouth, when we say it, is true. For example, I had girlfriends at the time in my past when I was living in sin and didn't know God. I said, I'll love you forever, baby. And then boom, well, guess what? There was a breakup? Yeah, of course. It didn't last forever. Why? Yeah, I was convinced of what I said. It's because my heart is deceitfully wicked. It deceived me. My heart deceived me. My heart outside of Christ. My heart apart from the transforming power of God through His love, mercy, forgiveness, and grace through Jesus. And so there's many times, many people, many of you guys can probably think of times where your heart was deceitfully wicked and it deceived you. And you were utterly convinced about one thing and it totally just led you the wrong way. And it's true. God knows that. The amazing thing about our Father in heaven is He tells us, lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways, trust in the Lord, and He will guide your steps. Like, He will guide your path. He will show you. Like, and so it's not of ourselves. We actually put faith in the God who loves us, and the God who wants to live inside of us. And we're not given over to our own devices. So God changes our hearts. He supernaturally cleanses us from all unrighteousness. We're born again, translated out of the kingdom of darkness into His marvelous light, and we're a new creation. We're a heavenly being, one with the Father who made us, ready to receive His love. And then this is the beautiful thing. He says, now you don't have to walk this thing out yourself. I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit, the Helper, so that now you're not given over to your own devices. Now I'm on the throne of your heart. Now your heart's not just by yourself and free to be used by yourself or anything else that comes your way that's a demon or wrong belief or anything like that. Now we actually have a faithful, loving, merciful, amazing God living on the inside of us, leading and guiding our lives, confirming and affirming our walk with Him every day as we yield to His grace and power, and as we yield to His truth that He has put on the inside of us. When we yield and trust and lean on Him, we can say and know this is not of ourselves. It's by His grace and through our faith that we are saved. It's not any works that any man can boast. And in fact, the only work that we did was to believe. That's not even really necessarily like an actual work, but it is something that we do. We believe. And we believe when we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. So it's an absolutely beautiful thing, the gospel. The gospel is transformational. It's heaven on earth now. It's eternity now. It's not eternity when you die. It's the fact that, oh wow, death is not the end-all, say-all. And in fact, to live is Christ and to die is gain, because then I'll be with the God that saved me. And I'll know my Father face to face, just like I knew Him the moment I got born again. For me, it was 2011 on Halloween night. That's my testimony. I'll never stop. It'll never get old for me to say that. 2011 on Halloween night. That's when I came into eternity. And many people are living for their own pleasures, and they're living on this side of eternity with the nature of hell. But the sad part is sin is deceiving them. Sin's desire is for them, but we are to rule over it. And the only way that we can rule over it is by giving our life to Jesus, because He conquered it on the cross. Sin was condemned in the flesh of Jesus so that we wouldn't have to pay for our sins in hell for all eternity. Jesus Christ came to forgive us. He has forgiven all of our sins. He has forgiven us. And all we have to do is repent, change our mind, and believe that that's what He came to do. And the Bible says He will give us a new heart, that we will be born again. That we will be born again, we'll be converted. And times of refreshing will come from the presence of the Lord. And He will blot out our sins. And His grace will empower us and transform us and train us to say no to ungodliness. And His grace will literally ignite and manifest the righteousness that we are in Christ Jesus. And we will live holy, righteous, blameless lives fit for the King's use. Totally abounding in it, as long as we continue to yield and die daily, take up our cross and follow Him, the narrow path to follow Him all the days of our life, that we would not love our lives unto death, that we would not have the pride of life, which is of the world. It's the wisdom of the world. It's sensual, self-seeking, it's demonic. But that God would lead us in total freedom and victory. And I thank You, God, for Your mercy. For Your mercy that You do not deal with us according to what we deserve because of our sins. But Your mercy is new every morning. And I thank You for the joy and the righteousness in the Holy Ghost. So yeah, the gospel message is universal. It's for every single human being on the face of the planet. It's absolutely mind-blowing. It's amazing. God's so good. He's so good. His light exposes every dark place, all the things that we didn't know needed to be exposed. When you hear the word of God that made you, the very words that created your being, that made you in the likeness of his image, the mind or soul, body, and spirit, the words that created and fashioned your being, when you hear the gospel, man, there's nothing like it. It exposes us. It shows us who we are and where we're at. And God says, I love you. I can change you. I can free you. I came to do those things. As long as you trust in me, you give your life to me, you repent of your sins, you don't have to pay for them for eternity in hell. Because the truth is, God made hell because he loves us. Think about this. He made hell for the devil and his demons. And he also made it for sin. And if you think about it like this, God had to make a place to get rid of the one thing, or the few things, which is the devil, his demons, and sin. God made a place to get rid of those things that were keeping us from him. He made a place to get rid of the things that kept us from him. That's amazing. That's beautiful. That's an incredible, incredible God we have. Because God is love. And everything he's done comes from his love. His committed, eternal, everlasting, beautiful, just, holy, righteous, amazing love. Now, we were made to be one with that love. We were created to be one with his love, with the God who is love. Hallelujah. And that's only possible through Jesus Christ of Nazareth, through what he did on the cross. Amen. Man, the gospel just doesn't stop being good. Yeah. My goodness. There's no other subject I want to talk about. I'm like, sheesh. You're going to have to be the one to bring up something to talk about, because the gospel is amazing.
First things first, can I borrow a shirt? I didn't bring an extra shirt.
Oh. Is there one right there?
I don't want to mess with anything. Just turn the light on, dude.
Yeah, here you go. Oh, wait, no.
It's a shirt, dog.
Yo, dog. Chill.
That's fine. It don't matter. Just a plain shirt.
That's not.
You just turned the lights.
Here you go. No, that's a button-up shirt. It's an Alita Battle Angel shirt.
Tight.
So yeah, get your mind blown. Get your mind blasted by the gospel. Yeah. We need to hear it. We have to. We must. We have to hear it. Can't hear it enough. And this is definitely a place that you will hear the gospel in abundance. More than enough. Even if you don't like it or if it's too much, hey, hear it out. Listen. Listen. God says, come, let us reason together. Let us reason together. Behold, I prepare for you the way of life and the way of death. Therefore, choose life. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through him. You have to make a decision to give your life to Jesus, because he's the only hope that humanity has to be free from the condemnation of their sin. He's the only hope. He's the only way. Whoa, dude. We don't need to be hearing that in the background. This ain't some baby show or something.
Wait, so... There. Let's see. Last time...
Well, last time...
When I walked away... I think you were praying.
No,
when I went to the.
Oh yeah. Yeah,
you're praying.
Yeah, just praying for the people that were listening.
Cool, and then you just went to the gospel.
Yeah, man, it's good.
Tight. So, I think the requests were all about
something
aliens and UFOs.
Okay, yes.
For some reason, this is the topic people are obsessed with.
It's okay. It's all right.
Yeah, that's cool. I'm down.
So okay, check this out. I'm going to have you talk about that.
What?
UFOs. And then I'll be back.
Oh.
I'm going to have you start that off. So we're going to tag team. So I'm going to tap out.
There's this.
And then...
Tap out, ain't
it? Here, did I just put this like this right here?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. Well, why do you want to lay on this couch?
Because this is a couch I always lay on, Dad.
Fine. All right.
Here's your Bible.
I'll be right back.
Yeah. Your Bible?
Yeah, we'll try to find some scriptures for the UFOs.
Oh, man. All right, guys. Hi, guys. All right. Chill. I'm just trying to, like, clean this couch off real quick, you know? Gotta stay clean, you know? There's a bunch of stuff on there. Just some random stuff. Gotta get the laptopy. Here we go. You know, we gotta stay strapped. Alright. Alright.
Alright, everybody. So, if you're listening, once again, thank you very much for joining our Capitan's podcast. What the heck? Oh, man, I fell asleep watching Mob Psycho. Tight. I'm not sponsored by them. That's just a good anime. Okay. Dudes and dudettes. Sorry, guys. My League of Legends is still open. Why am I so weird? And then, let's see this over here. Alright. So, the main topics. Sorry guys, I feel like, you know, there's always that one guy that has to Google everything on a podcast. That's me. I have to do everything. So, so that was my feedback on last week's podcast. It was all about people wanting to hear about UFOs and a little bit more about the aliens. They thought the other guy that was on the podcast went from 0 to 100 really fast. And then, some of the conversations that we have had in the past with UFOs and aliens, some of my small encounters have mostly, well, no, I don't want to say mostly on drugs, because I've actually had some without drugs. The first time I saw a UFO, I was in downtown Fort Worth skateboarding, and we're skateboarding. Long story short, we thought one guy was crazy. One of the guys that was with us, because he kept hollering, "There's a UFO." I didn't see it the whole time. And then by the time we left, I saw it. A couple years go by, when I was a huge pothead, messing around with drugs also, other drugs. There was like shadows of like 1,000 little people with these big heads in the room. And it was crazy because I was like doing like shadow puppets, just, you know, entertaining the crew. And then like, it was crazy because there was like a pentagram straight up, like a see-through pentagram through my hand, onto the wall with my shadow puppet. And everyone was kind of freaking out, asking me, how am I doing that? I couldn't explain it to them until I saw it myself. And then all of a sudden we see all these shadows and we turn on all the lights, and man, it was just crazy. Most recent alien encounter was in my room. There was like, it almost looked like there was like 5 of them in my closet, just kind of hiding and laughing. And then there was one big one, trying to make me think that he was somebody I knew. And I called him out and I was like, "Dude, no, I think you're a gray. And I'll see you on Judgment Day." And then they kind of freaked out and ran away. Let's see. Another UFO encounter. Man, I'm so monotone right now, dude. Like, I'm so monotone right now to myself. I don't have an interesting voice because I'm kind of tired. So I'm just monotoning it up, you know. My second UFO encounter was, I was driving back from the skate park
Okay.
And my friend's little brother sees like this, like it almost looked like liquid mercury floating in the sky.
What the heck?
And then he was like, "Dude, is that what I think it is?" And I was like, "Yep, that's a UFO." And then he couldn't breathe, so he's freaking out so hard. So I slapped him in the chest.
What?
I was in the driver's seat and I like smacked him in the chest and I was like, "Breathe." And then he was like,
"Yo, what the heck?"
And then what?
Okay. So I just want to say.
Yeah. What?
I never saw any UFOs.
Oh.
Like, I could tell you what I believe they are and what they... I think there's two aspects to UFOs that one is spiritual and one is natural.
Yeah.
Like one...
Well, let me finish my story.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
So I smack him in the chest. He breathes. And then I start climbing with the speed in the truck.
Yeah.
And I'm like, let's go catch up to it. Mm-hmm. Let's do this. And we literally pass one tree. And then that thing was gone.
So what did it look like?
It looked like a ball of liquid mercury floating in the sky.
Okay.
And it was low enough to where we could see it.
Was it like...
It
looked like it was like, moving and stuff?
Yeah. Like it was like far away, you know? But it was like... The distance it was like in the distance, it looked like the size of my fist. Like if you make a fist,
what the heck?
You know, so it was fairly close. Wow. And that's the closest I've been. And so, those are my...
So that would be...
Those are my in a nut case alien and UFO experiences.
In a nut case?
Or nutshell. Dude, same difference, bro. I'm tired.
Not people can think you're crazy.
That's fine.
It's okay.
Anyway. I think I'm crazy. Yeah. Here you go.
No, dude, because... That's hilarious. I think that would be considered close encounters of the first kind.
Maybe.
But because the first kind is sightings.
Yeah.
Like the first close encounters of the first kind. Second kind would be maybe, well, actually.
Because I was telling them about the time they were in my room.
Okay.
And yeah, in my closet. See, and then the one in the corner that was trying to make me think it was somebody else.
All right. See, those would be like, I believe that would be the third kind. Close encounters of the third kind. I believe when they're interacting with you, the close encounters of the fourth kind is when they abduct you.
Mm-hmm.
When they for real. So, okay,
they,
I feel like
they put stuff in your butt.
No, well. All
right. I guess, I don't really know that.
Well, here's an interesting thing you guys can look into. Do research yourself because we're not the end all say all on these topics. You can, if that's something you'd like to do, which I would recommend is not necessarily something you necessarily get into. We're just here to actually expose it. So. In light of scripture and in light of what the Bible says about it, look at it through the lens of the truth. But hey, if this is the way, the avenue that God would have himself expose more of himself to you through this subject, then we're going to be those weirdos to go ahead and take that on. So, because this is all to glorify Jesus. This podcast is... glorifying the work of Jesus and what he did and how everything cannot escape the light of the truth of Jesus Christ. So as far as the abductions go, which I feel like would be a significant subject to talk about right now, so abductions, it's really interesting because if you parallel all of the experiential emotions and feelings and even physical experiences concerning abductions, like extraterrestrial and alien abductions, and if you parallel that with occult rituals, specifically satanic occult rituals, there are literally more than like 1, 2, 3, 4 similarities. Like almost everything to the T of the experience of these individuals, if they, you know, when you parallel an alien abduction to a satanic occult ritual, they're extremely similar. The only difference is one is being done by humans and the other is being done by these beings, these extra dimensional beings, which we know the scripture describes as principalities.
Oh, I thought you were going to say like fallen angels.
Well, I mean, yeah, that's pretty much what it is, but they're spiritual beings. They're principalities, spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. So that's also another thing I wanted to get into about the UFOs. I believe there's a supernatural aspect to it and also a natural aspect to it. I believe that humans, human beings that have made covenants with these beings that have deceived them and actually told them, like, hey, we're actually extraterrestrial beings, extra-dimensional beings, and we've come to reveal the truth to you. And so these humans, and most of them are high up in the government and whatnot, because particularly these demons, these principalities, are highly intelligent, very, very sophisticated spiritual beings, masters of deep levels of deception. It's not just an individual's deception. These principalities, their mission from Satan is to deceive whole masses of generations, whole masses of lifetimes, because their goal is to deceive generations upon generations upon generations. That's their goal. So you need a high-level principality to perform this task. And one of the ways they do that is they manifest their spiritual being, their spiritual bodies, as these extraterrestrial beings. They manifest and they show themselves throughout history, the history of humankind, ever since the fall of man, and actually ever since Satan fell like lightning from heaven. You can look throughout history of this thing in terms of the hero archetype, where there is many, many different archetypes of a Messiah character. You can see it in the Egyptian culture. You can see it in all sorts of different people groups and religions of a Messiah character. And it's pretty interesting because people will use this hero archetype to try to debunk the validity of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually think it does the exact opposite. It actually completely verifies, but it has to be explained why it's verification, because the devil knew from the beginning, from the get-go, that God had a plan to that Adam's seed would crush Satan's head, but he would bruise his heel. So here's the thing. Satan knew that there was going to be a Messiah. So, man, he got his tail working hardcore. He's like, well, I don't know when this Messiah is going to come. It could be Abel, you know? And so guess what? Sin was crouching at Cain's door, and Cain was like, I'm going to kill Abel because he did something pleasing to God. Oh my goodness. Satan was probably like, that could be the Messiah. I don't know. Kill him, kill him, kill him, kill him. You know, let's put jealousy. Let's put murderous rage in Cain. Let's do this thing. Let's kill, 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 kill. Kill him, kill the seed. Ever since the beginning of the birth of human beings through female women, female humans, redundant female women, Satan has a mission to destroy the seed. And in fact, the heavens declare the glory of God. You can see the constellation of the serpent.
Dude, don't even get me started on that one.
Underneath the virgin.
With the stars.
Mm-hmm. And also, with the stars in the heavens, the heavens declare the glory of God.
Yeah. And well, so, I was talking about people who believe in horoscope and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's actually, but that's another topic. That actually all points to Jesus, too.
Yep.
You can't escape it. Like, you can't run from Jesus, y'all. You can't run from the truth. You can just deny it, but all of it points to Jesus Christ, specifically Jesus of Nazareth, who was born in a manger of the Virgin Mary, specifically. Yeah. That's all this points to. It's great. I mean, you could watch a movie called The Case for Christ, whatever it is. Do your research, whatever. I'll give you the shortcut. Give your life to him now. He loves you. Like, you can't deny the truth of what's in your heart already. You don't have to go through all this avenue of trying to figure this out. He loves you. And you were made to be one with that love. This is not, he's not trying to manipulate people. He loves you. And he's saying that sin is killing you. Sin is what makes this world look like hell. And because the nature of hell is being produced through our sin. So that's the truth of that's the heart of the gospel. When you realize that there is no escape from the gospel message, because God loves you. It's not so that you could be afraid and say, oh my gosh, there's no escape from God. It's like, yeah, because that's how much I made you. Everything is mine. The creator in heaven, and he is a God of love, but he's also extremely just and righteous. So he made a way for us to be redeemed, because he's such a good God. and he loves us. So it's all about his love. So anyways, over time, over history, you see these stories of beings manifesting to high level of importance individuals. They weren't just nobodies, man. Mm-hmm. They were, you see the Aztec leaders.
Yeah.
You see Egyptian leaders, like people who are in high positions of authority.
Yeah.
Like big time. They were rulers of nations. These quote unquote extraterrestrial beings mm-hmm. revealed themselves to them, promising and giving them false promises of that. We are your guys' Messiah. Mm-hmm. We are your saviors. We are the ones. We are the ones for the reason all of this is here. And so these people, corrupt leaders of nations and whatnot, they would give themselves. They would make pacts and they would have covenants with these false deities. And it's amazing because this is where you get all the false deities, because a lot of them are based off of real encounters. But guess what? It just because people had encounters with these spirits doesn't mean that there's many, many gods. Listen, these principalities and powers and spiritual hosts of wickedness, that's their role. They had a part to play to deceive humankind from ever thinking or receiving Jesus the Messiah, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Like they were working this thing. Like I said, Satan was working hard. And he had many, many, many antichrists appear even before Jesus was born. He had many antichrists, many different, and you could just find this throughout history and all this stuff. And it explains a whole why people from other nations and lands in the Bible, they had worshipped Baal and Moloch and what else? All the other false idols you hear about. The fish god, Dagon. Yeah, Dagon, mm-hmm. that's one. The half man, half animal type stuff. It says they worship creation rather than the creator. They turn the image of beast and animal and insect, and they made them like gods. Like, it's in the book of Romans, or I think it talks about that, how they exchanged the image of God for these things. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie. And it's deception. And so, because the Bible says that God's the spirit of truth, and truth will make you free. Truth. Jesus, the Messiah. See, all these other Messiah archetypes, they proclaimed a salvation. But they didn't proclaim a salvation from sin. They proclaimed a redemption, a salvation, a freedom. You can be free. You can have life if you just trust me and follow me and worship me. But they never proposed what Jesus of Nazareth proposed, which was a literal transformation from the bondage and wickedness of sin in our own hearts. An internal transformation, an internal salvation from the very thing that would cause us to be condemned. It wasn't just I'm going to save you, when you die, and that's it. It's just physical. And you can just live the way you want and just worship me, put me on top of everything, like the icing on the cake, and just eat your sin pie, and it's fine. That's a deception. It's so that they can die and go to hell and be like, what the heck? And realize that they were deceived. But all the while, the people of Israel were presenting to the world just how amazing Yahweh was and was at the time and is now, because he hasn't changed. He's still absolutely amazing. He still proves himself to be purely righteous, the one true living God. The one true God, the God of the heavens and the earth, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the one who created the universe, Yahweh, Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, like that God, to him, the real God, not these fake, demonic phonies flaunting themselves as gods, promoting false peace when there's no peace, promoting peace when there is no peace, and false promises. And that's exactly what's happening in our government today. Is the people in high levels of authority, they have communication with extraterrestrial beings that are principalities. They flaunt themselves as these beings of high intelligence. They communicate through wavelengths and vibrations. They can speak any language they want because they use it on a certain wavelength and vibration. They can interpret it in the way that, and they can communicate through frequencies, hertz, and all that stuff. And it's really just the spiritual realm encountering the natural realm. And scientists have used their smartness to figure out explanations for all this stuff that's taking place. It's just what the Bible says. It's an unseen realm, and people are coming in contact with it. And many, many, many people are being deceived by it. And especially in the high, I mean, this is how we're going to have the encounters of, in the book of Revelation, when it concerning, people are going to say, look, the Messiah's come, and it's not going to be him. Or that's what Jesus said in the Gospels. Look, the Messiah's come. And it says it won't be me. So you have to be aware. Actually, maybe you could look that scripture up so I can read it. Because I don't have...
What is it? Which one?
Type in... there will be false messiahs. And then just put... And put Jesus or something in the gospel.
Are you looking for scripture?
There.
Okay.
Okay, there it is. For false messiahs and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. And that's exactly what I'm talking about here. That's Matthew 24:24. Try to go to the next verse.
Whoops.
Oh. Yo, bro.
There you go.
Okay, so that's Matthew 24:24. Okay, this is good because
this is the whole 25.
Oh, that's 25.
Yeah.
Actually, I got my freaking Bible right
here.
There
you go. There's a whole chapter.
Go down to 24, 22, maybe. For there will be great distress unequaled from the beginning of the world until now, and never to be equaled again. In those days, if those days had not been cut short, no one would survive. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be shortened. At that time, if anyone says to you, look, here is the Messiah, or there he is, do not believe it. Okay, so that particular little tidbit of information kind of ties into what I've been talking about a lot, is because these great deceivers, these intellectual extraterrestrial beings of our, you know, creators, so to speak, there are going to be some crazy signs and wonders in the last days. And Jesus is describing that here in the book of Matthew. So people are going to say, look, there's the Messiah. There's the Messiah. Here he is. And then Jesus is literally saying to us, do not believe it. It says, for false messiahs and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. See, I have told you ahead of time. So Jesus is faithful. He's a good shepherd. So if anyone tells you, there he is, out in the wilderness, do not go out. Or, here he is, in the inner rooms, do not believe it. For as lightning that comes from the east is visible even in the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Okay, so like, they're going to try to find a way to ease themselves into the scene. They're going to be like, okay, it's time to be revealed. And then people are going to be like, look, there's the Messiah.
Yeah.
And we're going to know, because it was not in the fashion of lightning. And it wasn't in the fashion of the quickness of lightning. And like, boom, and then everything, it's like unexpected. No, these people are going to be making pacts with these false messiahs. They're going to be like, all right, it's time to get you up on the stage and present yourself to the world and show yourself off, and you're the Messiah, and here's all these false signs. And one of those things is going to be the revealing, the global exposure of these false entities, which I believe this is for you know, I believe that...
Or the what are they?
What?
The children...
Children of light?
No, or, the no. children... Or no, like... You remember the...
Oh.
Like the psychic people?
Yes, no, I know what you're talking about. Indigo children.
Yeah, something.
No, not
indigo children. I was thinking more of like... these like... Maybe I'm about to sound really crazy. But I'm talking about... people who have been kidnapped...
Yeah.
From maybe even birth,
mm-hmm.
and have been in
government facility
their psychic
to stages. Be trained as psychics.
So they could communicate with these beings.
That, but also perform these fake signs.
Yeah, so craziness. So this is all...
just crazy stuff.
Yeah, so it's okay. You can trust Jesus. But it's amazing because this is all stuff that's coming to the light. Like, I didn't ask to really... I didn't look and seek these things out. This is the funny thing. I wasn't looking for this type of information. I didn't do deep, because you can get lost in that crap. You can just really kind of lose your place and be like, oh, but if it's any benefit to the hearers, just know that the truth is revealed. The lies are exposed and the truth is revealed. And if we're one of many voices to really kind of call it out, then that's okay. And if no one hears this, one person hears this, two people hear this, it's fine. They'll know.
They won't. Because, I mean, even Scripture doesn't talk about it that much.
Yeah.
I think that
Scripture really kind of covers all of it, false messiahs, because...
This one, yeah. Well, no, I'm talking about just UFOs.
Yeah.
Like, it's not that big of a deal as we make it.
Right.
But because we haven't been exposed to it, we make it a big deal. Like, could you imagine if we saw and knew about UFOs on the daily? We would treat it just like any other thing. We'd be like,
that's true.
Oh, yeah, cool, whatever.
Oh, that okay. You know? That reminds me.
Because look at it in Scripture. Like, Scripture, the only, like, real Scripture that I see about it is what's in Ezekiel and what Ezekiel saw.
The vision he had.
And then he talks about, like, the wheel within the wheel. And then there was, like, a what they describe as a throne.
Mm-hmm.
And then like a spirit in it, in the form of a man, basically. And so I think of a pilot.
That's hilarious. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, dude.
So it's like, but that was it. Like, there isn't really any other real scriptures.
Right.
You know, wherever the wheel went or wherever the spirit went, the wheel went. And mm-hmm. so.
Which the thing that we can't deny is that these things exist in the world.
Yeah.
You do research and you look into it, you know, you can find some pretty ridiculous YouTube videos about all this information. But not to say that that's where you should really glean your belief system from, because the truth is Jesus. And it's very, very narrow-pathed. I'll say narrow-pathed because it's like it's the mind of Christ. It's his narrow way. It's Jesus. He deals with the human heart. He deals with the issue of our hearts, of our wicked hearts. So that's really what it comes back to. It's just to prepare you so that you're not without. You are without an excuse, and all these things go down.
I think it's kind of like with what you're saying.
What's that? Oh, this is doubtless a symbolic representation of Jehovah's supremacy and sovereignty over the entire creation. There is not the remotest connection with space aliens. Yeah, see, I agree. I don't think that Scripture even talks about really space aliens, because I'm thinking of just like God and his amazingness. Mm-hmm. But as far as the UFOs are concerned, like, I'll go back to what I was saying before, the supernatural aspect and the natural aspect. There is a supernatural aspect in the sense of these principalities, they shapeshift.
Mm-hmm.
They can appear as these entities in the sky. But I believe there's also a natural aspect where people who have communicated with these demons and principalities have been able to gain knowledge to construct aircrafts and devices of immense power that is harnessed through however knowledge they were able to gain. And because they want to keep it for themselves or keep it in the shadows for whatever reason, whatever agenda they have, they don't have it out to the public, and they just keep it to themselves. And so there is a man-made UFOs, man-made aircrafts that
mm-hmm.
can very much so defy what we perceive as modern-day physics and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But it's really...
Because for some of the people that don't know much about Nazi history either...
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that even...
Right. That's
there's
right. That's
tons. Right. There's tons of information out there if you just pretty much look it up, but...
Yeah.
There's tons of information out there where they talk about Hitler having UFOs, you know?
Yeah,
like,
that's right. That's
like,
right.
They, you know,
yeah.
Like, they were crazy, dude. They, you know, they were finding them.
Yep.
And, you know, they pretty much confiscated and didn't say anything about it because they were like, we want to know what this is.
Yeah.
This is, you know, way past us.
Yep. Dude. So, yeah, I mean, really, this information is to leave us without excuse. Every avenue of excuse that humankind would want to try to find themselves to be in when it comes to Jesus' return, there's no excuse. You will not have an excuse. You will not say, well, dude, you know, you can't blame me. Like, aliens was what it was all about for me, you know. This is all I thought. There's no excuse. It was all pointing to Jesus. Like, and the sound of my voice, you are without excuse. I'll just say that. Like, at the sound of this podcast, those who believe anything concerning extraterrestrials, you are without excuse now. Because the truth of Jesus Christ has been revealed to you. And it has superseded and transcended everything that there is to know about these extra-dimensional beings and aliens and whatnot, whatever you want to call them. They're evil, they're wicked, they're demons. Their agenda is mysterious, it's perverted, it's not for our benefit, it's for our control, and it's demonic in nature. God wants to shine the light on you, to reveal and expose you for your benefit and for your well-being, because he wants to save you from the damnation of sin. He wants to save you from the very thing that will cause him to kill and destroy your body and soul in hell forever. Because he has to judge sin righteously. And if you refuse to let go of your sin, he will kill you, your soul and body, in hell forever. He will cast you into outer darkness, because he is just and righteous. He does not desire that anyone would perish. It is not his heart to do that. He does not delight in the death of the wicked, even the ones that we think deserve to be judged and damned into a place called hell forever. He does not delight in the death of even those people. He does not delight in it because Jesus paid for their sins as well. They didn't have to pay for their sins, but because they refused to receive what Jesus did on the cross, God has to kill them and destroy their soul and body in hell. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. He is just and righteous, and his love is so severe, but his mercy is amazing and endures from everlasting to everlasting, that he made a way through Jesus Christ for us to be free. To be free. For freedom's sake, Christ has set us free, so we could be free to be loved by God and to know him and be known by him for all eternity. It's the freest place you can ever be, the most satisfying, enjoyable place you could ever be, right now and for all eternity, is to be known by your Father in heaven. He literally transforms you and conforms you into the image of love itself, so you can do his will and live out the rest of your days in the pleasure of being known by God. It's incredible. So we don't got an excuse. There is no any which way that you can try to find a way out of this gospel of Jesus Christ. You can't find a way out of it. There's nothing. And, you know, I mean, I guess you could go and, for example, kind of what you did, just go to Satanist route and try to fight against God, which that's futile. That'll never work. Yeah, so if you just want to rebel, I'm sorry, but it's not going to work. It's futile. It will not work. It will not last. And you'll be fighting against the living God, which will never, ever, ever work. You can't. You have to humble yourself. You have to repent, because he loves you. His love covers a multitude of sins. Like, he loves you. His mercy triumphs over judgment. So he's more speaking his mercy to you and his love to you. He's not willing that any man should perish. He's not willing that anyone should perish, but that all might have eternal life through Christ Jesus. He really, really, really loves you. And it's just amazing. It's what it's all about. It's what it all comes down to, is his love. It's his love. Faith, hope, and love. These three remain, but the greatest of these is love. Without love, we got nothing. Everything we speak and say is nothing. You know, we love you. Like, that's why we speak these things. We love the listeners. That's why we say these things. It's the love of God. It's the love of God through Christ Jesus. And we come down and we speak about these things because it's just in our heart to do so. But it's out of the abundance of our hearts, our mouth has spoken. And because of the personal, really interesting, wonderful things that God has revealed to us, it's really worth others to be able to partake and share in the knowledge that God has revealed to us as his children, so that others can know God as their Father. All right, heads up. Time is coming short. The maximum recording time for segment is 60 minutes. Okay.
Huh.
You wanna cut this one at that time?
Yeah, dude, we can cut it off. Okay. So, anyways, guys, we'd love your feedback. And keep on listening. Check us out on your favorite app. Dude, I'm too monotone. I'm not excited right now.
It's all good, bro.
I am, but I'm tired. It's like 1:30 in the morning, dude. I've been going to sleep early for some reason. I don't know. What's wrong with me?
Bro.
All right, I got to get excited. Hey. All right, guys. Well, if you enjoyed this podcast, subscribe, like us, share us, tell the whole world. We don't care. Check us out on your favorite app. And, spread the word. Let everybody else know that we're not just on Anchor, but we're also on everywhere else that you can listen to podcasts on. And trying to think. Yeah, schedule and stuff is kind of changing right now. So, but, you know, we out here grinding, dishing it out. If you have any questions, any comments, let us know so we can answer. You got a topic that you wanna know about, drop it on us. We'll talk about it. I don't really know what else, man. Kinda like poopy right now. Chilling.
Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation from his wrath and punishment to everyone who believes in Christ as Savior. To the Jew first, and also to the Greek. The gospel is the power to save your soul from his wrath and his punishment. So repent and believe. We're not ashamed of the gospel, y'all. We'll preach it like it is, like it says in the Word. And how God has said it to our hearts.
Yeah, dude.
We'll preach it. We're not ashamed.
It's the real deal. The real thing. No sugarcoating. None of that. But, all right, guys. Well, have a great day, a good night, a good morning, a good afternoon, a good lunch time. So we hope we covered enough of your UFO questions and maybe some aliens. All right. Bye.
Peace.